Welcome back to the Hoops Tempo podcast. We're going to do a West preview. I'm joined with Montaigne and Pablo Escobar. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing very well. If for any of the people watching the visual aid to this podcast, I'm wearing a bandage on my nose, but I did not get punched in the face. I want to clarify, it is a breathing strip, which has changed my life. So go get one if you have any trouble breathing. It is incredible. And thank you for having me.
Everybody, that's a lie. He told us all before that he got in a fight fighting for Logan Paul's honor in the streets. Somebody said Dylan Danis was going to win. He said, no, I'm a Maverick. That's my Maverick. You can't say that. And then he got in a fight and he got busted. But hello, everybody. I'm here today. I'm Pablo Escobar. I saved a worm on my way to this podcast. So please comment down below. Wow, thanks for saving that worm. And you're not allowed to be mean to me for any of these predictions because I'm not confident in them.
Have some confidence. I want to say, Montaigne, the people are very disappointed that you did not get punched in the face.
No, it will happen. It will happen in the future. It has happened in the past. I'm just saying this particular instance, not what it is.
Okay.
But I look forward to it happening in the future.
Gonna fight somebody. All right. So you guys sent me your record predictions. I compiled them with mine. Gives us an average. Shows us what we think as a whole the standings would be. The 15th seed. There is a tie, but me and Montaigne had them as the 15th seed, so we're breaking away from Pablo's rhetoric. With the Blazers.
It's been a mutiny.
A mutiny to put the Blazers at the bottom of the league. Now, I wanted to ask, Pablo, you had them at 34 wins. Are you anticipating something different happening? Was this a prediction with Damian Lillard? Are you really high on Scoot Henderson?
I think, well, the 34 wins, when I got down to the bottom of the West, I was like, I have no clue how many wins these guys are going to get. So I was just throwing out numbers. But I am anticipating Damian Lillard staying. Just cause I know there's reports now that it's getting closer to being done, the Miami deal, but I do not see how they get a deal done that can benefit them. And so I anticipate Dame being there for at least a little bit and him just like suffering through. So
I don't know if I agree with that at all. Like when we first shot our episode, Pablo and I anticipated Dame was going to stay. Then the more reports that come out, agents, even from the league office, I'm like, this dude is ending up in Miami and it's dumb for both sides. Like, I think the best thing for Dame would be to stay in Portland, but he's not going to. He's not going to play. The fact that he would get traded to a better team and not even show up for training camp, like, he's not going to play for the Blazers. He's just going to sit out.
It's a tough thing to predict. I try to see the future a little bit, and I said that Dame would get traded to Miami for Hero and scraps and whatnot. But it's just hard to say, oh, he's staying with Portland, and they're going to go as hard as they can for 35 wins or something. With all that said, I had them at 18 wins, 18 miserable wins. Last season, they were 7th on defense and like 18th on offense, like a little bit below average on offense, but really bad on defense. With no Dame, if that happens, they're going to be awful on offense as well. And a huge thing to consider, like if you're going to project a team to win 25 games, 27 games, they're winning less than that. Like they're going to lose on purpose.
we got to project Shaedon Sharpe's Michael Jordan-esque leap this year.
They do have some really interesting talent, I will say. I'll say that'll definitely be a really fun team to watch. Like for sure. Like Shaedon Sharpe and like Anthony Simons, Jeremy Grant's literally the best player in the NBA. Obviously, no, I'm just kidding. One of those things is not true. And Scoot, I mean, it definitely will be a really fun group of pieces. How they will end up playing offensively. It could be a lot of hero ball. I have no idea how it's going to work.
Is that hero ball or Tyler hero ball?
Nice.
Both?
You're on fire right now. I think if they get Tyler Hero, it'll make what I just said even crazier to watch. It's another one of those type of pieces that is just a ball dominant guard that is just going to be me first in terms of scoring. And while that may not lead to productive basketball, I will definitely watch it and enjoy it.
It's a step up from like the Rockets the other year, like with like Şengün and Jalen Green, where it's like, this could be fun. That was not fun. Wasn't fun at all.
Would you guys rather have Tyler Hero or Anthony Simons? I think I might just have Anthony Simons straight up above Tyler Hero.
No, no way. Not for me. I like Anthony Simons because he's never been in like the biggest market and whatever. And I feel like he's kind of like an undiscovered talent, but people are underrating how good Tyler Hero is. I think people like love to shit on Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero is a fucking monster.
For me, the main weapon for both guys is 3-point shooting. And Anthony Simons has been like super duper prolific over the past few years. Like I just saw per something possessions, he's like at the top of the league in attempts and near the top of the league in efficiency. He's like at the top of the league in pull-up shooting and everything. And so when it comes to purely shooting, I think I would take him. The only problem I would have to consider is he, because Tyler Hero has some like secondary pick and roll creation type stuff. So I don't know how much Simons can do that, but yeah, I just feel like they're relatively similar. I'd be so mad if I'm a Blazers fan and he's the centerpiece of the package we get back. Oh my God.
It may not be the best centerpiece, but even judging off of like the Miami playoff run 2 years ago, like when he's in with their bench unit, he can carry a bench unit and like hold off certain starters. And like you drop Anthony Simons in, I don't think that's happening, despite how good his shooting numbers are.
They're very, very similar. Me, Nate, and Dylan did our top 100 players heading into next season. Simons came in at 84 and Hero is 68, which is like basically the same. I mean, it's a difference of like an 85 overall in 2K and an 84. But I did like Hero's like secondary creation stuff you mentioned more than Simons. But I think that's good on the Blazers. They're going to kind of suck, but it might be more fun than usual. It'd be a fun losing team, almost like the Spurs last year where it was just kind of shootouts.
First coach fired candidate.
No. Chauncey?
When teams are that bad, I think they hired him saying like, hey man, like this is gonna go downhill, like buckle up for the long run. Why would you fire a coach when you know you're gonna be the worst team in the league? Just
because you're right building out. A bad culture like the Rockets last year.
I think they'll be like, I think ownership will look at it and they'll be like, well, we just drafted Scoot Henderson, you know, who was a great point guard, Chauncey Billups. He'll tell Scoot Henderson how to be great point guard. Click light bulb, and they'll be like, "We're good."
Yeah, good luck.
So for the 14th seed, I had the Spurs at 26 wins, Montaigne 22 wins, Pablo 25 wins. We all feel basically exactly the same about the Spurs. I had told Montaigne right before we started recording that I felt like they would give Wemby kind of shine in the first month. In the first 2 months, they'll be like 8-15, 8-17 heading into December or something, but then they'll go like 10-50 to finish the season. But I do find a few more wins in that. How high are we on Wemby as someone who can impact winning right now?
Me? all right, I'll go. I think we'll see a lot of really encouraging stuff defensively, but overall, I don't think he's at the point where it's like he's single-handedly propelling these wins, unless the defense is good enough to where Devin Vassell is confident enough to be a crazy perimeter scrambling gambler. He becomes the next Scottie Pippen, and he just carries his defense by himself because he's confident Wemby's there to back him up. But outside of them two, I don't know. I don't think the infrastructure is really there for this team to get a lot of wins in the West at all. I was surprised going through because there's like a player or two on every team in the West where I'm like, oh my God, that guy's really good. I can't leave him out of the playoffs, but then you have to. And so I just don't think the talent is there right now. And I'm not going to be discouraged if it's like a pretty rough year for him overall, just because, yeah, I feel like the expectations are set a little too high. Like I've said before, all-time great potential as a prospect, but he was not the best 19-year-old basketball player ever. And so, yeah, I'm going to keep my expectations moderate. Let's hope for a near Evan Mobley type rookie year, which would be insane, but that's what you gotta hope for. So
I think people are expecting a Tim Duncan rookie year. Like some people have that expectation. Tim Duncan didn't even come in with this big of a target on his back. Like every big man in the league who plays the Spurs is gonna want to fucking destroy Wembanyama because of this hype. He's gonna be basically Sean Bradley for a year. Do I think he's gonna be that bad? No. I think he'll be good defensively, good for the Spurs, could bring a couple wins, but everybody is gonna go at this guy just because of the media hype around him. And it's going to be a huge story. And then when he doesn't live up to the hype year one, everyone's going to be like, biggest flop ever. And it's like, no, you got to give him a year to get like his sea legs under him. I think honestly, they're going to get a lot of wins towards the front end of the season. It could be similar to the Jazz. And then they're going to just go on. Someone's going to get hurt and it's going to ruin all their rotations. And then it's over for them. And then they're just going to pack it in for another year. But I think this year, it really doesn't. The Spurs don't give a shit how many games they win. They just want to make sure they're building like the right foundation for the next 4 or 5 years.
Which is important. I want to note that the Spurs last year had a defensive rating of 120. As good as Wembanyama might be defensively, that sound Pablo made is about right. They were the worst defense ever.
Ever?
By that metric, yeah. Relative defensive ratings different, yeah. They were also, I think, the 29th worst offense as well. So there really isn't much going for them. I had them at 26 wins, but I think Wembanyama is going to be great. I had him, I made a video saying he's going to average 3 blocks per game, which is, seems high, but I don't think it's that crazy at all. Looking at like Mitchell Robinson and Walker Kessler, they have like 2.3 blocks per game, 2.5 blocks per game, and pretty low minutes. I think Wemby's going to have more minutes than that. Less games, more minutes, more blocks equals about 3 blocks per game.
And he's flexible. How many wins is that flexibility worth?
4. That's a difference between us. 22 and 26 wins.
That's a stretch.
Oh my God.
I definitely think he's going to be on a little bit of more of a minutes cap than you're saying initially. I think Pop is like one of those guys, super protective. He's not going to just be like, all right, floodgates open. Like he's going to be like, you're on a minutes limit until you stop getting absolutely destroyed on defense. And yes, I think he'll have a couple blocks and big deflections like on passes just because he's that big. But
he's huge, covers a crazy ground, blocks you pointers like legitimately. He also looks kind of like a turtle when you take their shell off when he's stretching, which makes him uncomfortable. But
they're definitely not a league pass team for me, man. Like I do want to see Wembanyama play a couple games, but I'm not going to watch that team, man. That's one of the teams. There's so many teams to watch and that like I'd rather watch the Blazers. They're going to be more fun than to watch the Spurs.
I'll watch them for Devin Vassell.
Well, here's a team that will not be fun at all. I still don't think we'll be very fun. Our 13th seed is the Houston Rockets. I had them at 28 wins. Montaigne, 30 wins. Pablo down in the gutter with 17 wins. Pablo not liking Dylan Brooks and Van Fleet that much.
I think it's horrific signings. Like unless Dylan Brooks is Canada Dylan Brooks, then maybe it's okay. But even then, it's like very, very ball dominant. Well, I don't want to overstate, but pretty ball dominant guy for a wing, kind of a chucker. And then he's walking into a situation where he's like the old man in the room, supposed to be the leader. So he's going to be like, yeah, I'll show you young guys how to do it. Give me the ball and get out the way. You guys know I just won. What did they win? Did they win bronze at FIBA? He's going to be like, yeah, we won that medal. You all saw it. I'm the Kobe of this generation. And then Fred VanVleet is also a ball dominant chucker. And then at least they got, at least hopefully Kevin Porter Jr. will be out of the rotation. And that's another high volume, inefficient chucker that they won't have to deal with. But I'm just not confident in this team unless they decided to run everything through Şengün or Amen Thompson. And even if they went through Amen Thompson, he's a rookie, it'd probably be bad. But overall, the team construction, I just don't think the pieces are going to fit. But what did I say? I said like 17 wins or something. That's probably way too low. I was just throwing out numbers, but I would be shocked if they break 30. I don't think this is a good team.
That is so disrespectful to NBA veterans like Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, veterans who have been on former champion and Western Conference semifinalist Dylan Brooks. Okay. And does it scare me that Dylan Brooks has the potential to be locker room cancer? Not really, honestly. They gave him money that was like, we believe in you. When every other franchise had pretty much abandoned him, everyone's like, you're going to China. They were like, and I think it is the most absurd contract in the league, but for his confidence coming off the FIBA World Cup, people are underrating Dylan Brooks severely. They also have one of the best coaches in the NBA who's going to change the whole culture. I believe in the Rockets way more than both of you. There's going to be way less fucking around under Ime Udoka than previously.
Hey, maybe a little more fucking, though.
Way more fucking and way less fucking around. Well, actually, fucking around on the court. But you know what I mean.
Like Giannis says, freak on the court and on the sheets.
And on the sheets, too. You know what I'm saying? But I do think you're seriously underrating the Ime Udoka like side of this. It's like he has all these super good talented pieces. It's a matter of you need a good conductor for all the instruments. And I think Ime Udoka is the guy, and I could be stupid for that, but coming from the Spurs system to what he did with the Celtics, to what he did with the woman that worked for the Celtics, to now where he's going with the Rockets, I truly believe in the team more than you do. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they're definitely going to win more than 30 games.
You had them at 30 wins. I did 28. I felt like that was fair. I mean, when you add them all up, because I try to make my wins work for the 1,230 you need, I just had to take some wins away from them. I like Van Fleet and I like Brooks. The thing with Brooks is he's a knucklehead, but he's not a locker room cancer. Like, I think he kind of got associated with Ja and like with that whole like with that mess when he really was just like, I punched LeBron in the nuts, and like that's kind of the extent of it.
He's an on-court cancer.
He's just kind of a goofball, like in terms of like he's just a knucklehead, man. Like, I don't think he's gonna bring in like bad culture to Houston. I think he's gonna play good defense and care and give a shit. And I think like Jalen Green for the first time is gonna watch his teammate be like, we have to fucking win these games, guys. Like, what are we doing? Like, quit jerking around.
He's a dog. Like, he is a dog on the court. He's one of those guys you fucking hate playing against, and when he's on your team, you're like, let's go. And I think so much of the media hype against Dylan Brooks happened because he talks shit on LeBron in the playoffs, and it just everything turned against him. And then people in his own locker room were even like, yeah, you're not playing well enough to like warrant the shit. But in Houston, he's not going to need to be anything more than the third option, if that, not even. And on court, he's going to be a fucking dog. On defense, they're going to need good 3-point shooting. He played pretty damn well for Canada. Like, I've seen it. I know he's good. I've watched him play at Oregon. He's a fucking great shooter. Like, maybe sometimes in the league, like, he's gone through stretches where he's a chuck and whatever, because Ja has been out, and that culture in Memphis sucks. And in Houston, I have more faith in them. I think next year they're the team that's going to make like the big leap. But this year, get the culture under their feet. That is a league pass team I'm going to love watching.
The big leap from 21 wins to 32. Oh boy, cooking something up. All right.
Shout out to Tari Eason.
Nice little shout out.
We're still talking about bad teams. This team, we also were all in the same spot about. This is the Utah Jazz. Me and Montaigne had 30 wins. Pablo had 32. I think they're not going to start the season off very well like they did last year. They traded away Mike Conley, some of the nice pieces. This season, they're basically starting with their post-trade deadline pieces, which just isn't a very good team. I'm disappointed that Lauri Markkanen's not going to play meaning basketball for another season, but it'll be a 30-win team.
This is the most fraudulent team to me in the West that people think are going to like make a little playoff run. They're not that good, to be honest. They have great pieces, but I don't believe in Walker Kessler and Lauri Markkanen together. Not as individuals. Individuals, they're great. I don't believe in them. I don't believe in them together. I don't think it makes any sense. Jordan Clarkson, just another year of Jordan Clarkson. Like, okay.
Where's everyone's John Collins stock at?
Oh, I forgot he's there. I love John Collins, but So it'll be interesting if they play. Wait, did you say Laurie's going to be out for a little?
No, I just think he's going to be sat down, tanking.
Because he plays in Utah.
If they run some Lauri John Collins front courts, Lauri spacing out to the perimeter, John Collins finally enabled to be a role man again. Oh my God, with that lineup, they'll be one of the best offenses in the league, one of the worst defenses in history. But it'll be cool to watch. We'll see how John Collins' finger looks. If he's back to shooting 40% from three, then he'll be fantastic. But Walker Kessler tries to shoot threes. I don't know if he can actually shoot threes. I don't know if he'll be able to shoot threes next year. But that'll definitely be interesting. I'm still pro John Collins for one more year at least.
I was never anti Kessler. I mean, Kessler's easy to be all in on. He's incredible. He's so young. John Collins is like one of the hardest players, in my opinion, to like really track the value of, because he's had so many high highs, and then his stock was just kind of in the shitter for like years because they're trying to trade him and no one wants him and no one knew what his value was. He was a good shooter for a very small portion of his career. I'd never said he was like an elite shooter. With the pick and roll stuff, he's one of the best in the league. Like, in terms of, do I think with the finger, do I think he's ever going to get that shooting back? No, especially not on this team. Like, this is not that environment. The Jazz are going to be like a slow paced team, you know, slow you down and minimal possession game. It's going to be boring to watch. And John Collins is going to stay in this NBA purgatory forever, even though I still like him as a person.
I was really high on Kessler heading into the draft because he took threes in college. I was just like screaming, like, there's this huge guy that blocks like five shots per game and he actually tries to take threes, because so many times guys don't even take them. It's like zero attempts, like it's not gonna happen. But I just saw a universe where Kessler actually starts hitting threes, like, you know, Valanciunas used to take threes or still kind of takes threes. Like, even at that kind of pace, it just brings a different kind of offensive look to someone who's already so good at defending the rim. I wanted to ask Pablo, Ice Bryce is on this team. How you feeling?
Yes.
How you feeling about the Jazz in that sense? I also drafted Taylor Hendricks, 9th overall, and Keontae George at 16. Lots of young guys. How do you feel about the rookies?
So Ice Bryce right now is still recovering from knee surgery. So I don't know exactly when he's supposed to get back. I've been Googling him, Bryce Sensabaugh, and then clicking news on Google to see what's happening.
Do you click when you search Bryce Sensabaugh? Do you have to click news separately, or do you just not just Google and see it pop up?
Well, he's not a notable name enough for them, for when I Google him, for the news article to show up 100% of the time. So I got to click news to see if the Salt Lake Tribune wrote about him or something like
Google,
that.
Google, what are we doing?
as soon as he's healthy, that'll definitely change things for them, because he'll probably average like... I'm anticipating Michael Jordan numbers year one, because he's the best mid-range shooting prospect ever, 40% three-point shooter, the most confident three-point shooter ever. Closeouts don't even bother him. They could run some pick and rolls with him, but he didn't have a ton of reps doing it, and so I don't know how much that'll be a part of his offensive game, but he's just a safety option when your offense breaks down, and their offense will probably break down. You say, oh my God, we have nothing to do. What do we do? Let's give it to Bryce Sensabaugh on the mid-post. He's going to turn around over the shoulder, he's gonna hit the fadeaway jumper in your face. He's like a 71 overall on 2K. He has the MIDI master or whatever badge. It doesn't have any color. It's not even bronze, I don't think. I don't know what it is, but they gave it to him because he's that good. Those idiots at 2K even had to acknowledge it. And so just depends when he's healthy, when he gets on the court. I think he'll have a good rookie year. Even if the mid-range shooting doesn't translate immediately, I think the three-point shooting should translate immediately, because he's just super duper confident. And then Taylor Hendricks, I don't know. Do you guys remember, how good was Jaren Jackson his rookie year? Was he was a little foul. Well, that's him specifically.
Pretty raw. How good was he? I can double check. Jaren's action junior, yeah. 2019. He was 58 games. 26 minutes a game, 50% shooting. He's 14 points and about 5 boards, 3.8 fouls per game in 26 minutes. Per 36, that's 5.2 fouls per game. He's brought that number down a little at 4.6 per 36 minutes now, but I mean, his offense has taken a big step from in terms of three-point volume, in terms of getting to the line. But it was a pretty good rookie season. He was all rookie.
Yeah, so I would anticipate you probably won't see a better season from Taylor Hendricks in terms of relative to Jaren Jackson, but maybe he'll shoot better from three. But Taylor Hendricks, I think it'll probably be a flashes type season. Like, there will probably be some games where he looks unplayable, but then there will be some possession where he like shuts down Jokic one time or something like that, and people are like, whoa, the potential. Or he like switches from Jamal Murray onto Jokic and people are like, this is the future of our team. And then Keontae George is another guy. So the main selling point with Keontae George was the shooting, but his college three-point percentage was not super great. But there were a lot of makings of a great shooter, just in terms of like shot mechanics and shot preparation and the different types of shots he was making. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out the gates and he's like a really good three-point shooter, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he just has a pretty rough rookie year overall. But out of all those guys, they probably don't change the trajectory of the Jazz too much, unless Bryce does have that Donovan Mitchell type rookie year, which is possibility.
Are you the biggest, besides his own family and friends, are you the biggest Bryce Sensabaugh fan on the internet?
I don't know. Hopefully. I think I had him highest on any draft board that I've seen. I had him I had him like fifth or something like that. I don't know if anybody had him higher than me, but maybe. But you know, well, I should acknowledge this right now. I searched Ice Bryce on Twitter the other day, and there were people saying Ice Bryce before I thought of it. Well, there's one draft guy who thought of it before me, and he tweeted it out twice. He said Ice Bryce. So I'm not the first to say Ice Bryce. I think when you watch him play, God just speaks through you and tells you this is Ice Bryce.
You may not be the creator of the term, but you definitely have popularized it. And anyone that says it on TikTok says Ice Bryce and gives credit to you, my friend. So I do think you may be the biggest Ice Bryce fan that is not family or friend.
I hope so.
Bigger fan than his family and friends. Like, his mom is a fan, but like, I don't know if he's Pablo Escobar, or I don't know if she's a Pablo Escobar level of fandom.
We got to get him a 2K badge that just says fan. We just give him a little fan badge in the game, you know?
Someone email his mom his 2-point jumper numbers from Ohio State. She'll go nuts.
I'm sure she would. Guys, we're done with the bad teams. At this point, every team after this had an average win total between the three of us of at least 40 or more. So these are all playoff contenders. And the first one is just kind of shocking. I was very low on them. I figured I'd probably be the only one. But we're all in the exact same spot. The Los Angeles Clippers. I had 40 wins, Montaigne 41, Pablo 43. We're not into the Clippers as much. I just think they've kind of bled this well try. And even if Kawhi and Paul George are perfectly healthy, I don't think they're that good in the first place. But that health probably won't be there. They come down to 40 wins.
Okay, so this team probably has the highest fluidity for me. They could be way higher in the West. The more you just talked there, I kind of like the Clippers as a little bit of a sleeper pick here. Every year though, since they've been together, they've never been a sleeper pick. They've always been like the team that on paper, they're the best team. They have the most talent and this, and they're always
anymore.
This year, no one's expecting them to do anything this year, really. But the new NBA rules, even though they'll figure out a way around that, like every other team will. But the new rules, the new stipulations from the NBA may allow for both of them to play more games than previously anticipated. And I disagree with you. If both of them are on the court at the same time, look out, fucking NBA. Like, did you see Kawhi, like, in the one game he played against the Suns? Like, they're a fucking different team. Okay, but yeah, they beat the Suns.
Sure. No, sure. They're going to be playing Marcus Morris. Like, they're going to have point guard problems. They don't have any good point guards. Like, their center rotation is Zubac, and who gives a shit? It's just not a very great.
Zubac is really good.
He's good, but it's just, I just don't think they're built like a team in like 2017, when they made this team. It was awesome. This like crazy wing stuff that everyone is into, but it's so much more like big and guard heavy now.
Boardman gets paid, man. And I do think you're underrating those two together. Like, yes, maybe versus the tip-top teams in the West, it's a little harder. But when the Clippers are playing the Spurs this year, I would rather have Kawhi and Paul George with no point guard than anybody on the Spurs.
Sure. No, of course. That's a Spurs comparison. I wanted to note really quickly on the new rules, because that is really important. It's something to think about with the Lakers and with the Clippers and the Suns and whatnot. Although those guys are old, and maybe the rules are different for them. I think it's like 36 and or 1,000 games total played. But the Clippers are going to be forced to play their guys. I think in a way you're going to actually see legitimate injuries from them, where it's not just like Kawhi being day-to-day for his entire life. It's going to be like, okay, Kawhi actually sprained his ankle. He's healthy the other times, but you're going to see him miss 20 games in a more legitimate way, which I guess we fixed the problem, but I think you're going to see about the same amount of games played.
Yeah, with them, I just don't believe that they'll stay healthy, because what's it called? The Kawhi issues, it's a degenerative issue, right? With his knee or quad or something like that. So I just don't anticipate that getting better.
It's not a quad, it's a quad.
Nice. I just don't think that they'll stay healthy, and then I don't know if the depth can really carry them in that kind of West. If they did stay healthy, I think they'd be okay. They'd be decent. They'd be pretty good. I'm throwing out a lot of different synonyms here, but yeah, I'm just
top
counting
what?
On. I'm just
six coach.
I'm just, oh, Ty Lue? Ty Lue's very good.
Top six coach? Like, that's worth something, man. Like, he does a lot with a little. when he has those guys, man, yes, I know there's obviously injury concerns, but that's why, excuse me, that's why I think our win totals kind of adjust for that. But I think if they are healthier, that I would anticipate way more wins. Like
the
even
West is just
minus
better.
All the other pieces.
The West is just so good. It's so tough to get around that stuff. And so when you're thinking like in 2018, you could just say like, oh, when the playoffs come, we'll be the best team in the league and whatnot. But I just don't think they have that cheat code anymore. Like they have to both be healthy and be good. I don't think that can happen at the same time. You guys have any Russell Westbrook stock left?
I do just because number one, availability, and number one, he's a hard worker. I think as he gets older and he can do less and less athletically, I think his pride will continue to like be diminished, smaller and smaller. He won't be living in the past as much, and he'll realize the only way to win a title is to shut the fuck up and just keep playing.
I don't know if that's coming, man. I said I was wrong about the Westbrook arc. I said heading into last season, I said he wasn't a top 100 player in the league. And not only that, when he got, and he wasn't, throw that out there, wasn't a top 100 player last year.
Is he now?
No, he's not. He never was. Yeah. So he wasn't. It was off on the
Westbrook
Lakers.
Is not a top 100 player, boys.
I'm not interested. I'm not interested in having him on my team.
last season, no.
Maybe he's not the best teammate. Out of all, there's 100 guys you'd rather have on your team, but
he's not a
player for player,
basketball player. He's not. What does he break anymore? He can give you, you know, scoring at the lowest efficiency with high volume. Get Ish Smith to do that for 35 minutes. Like anyway, like it's just not.
The disrespect is crazy, man. People, this is what happened when you go to the Lakers. Like the Lakers made the whole mainstream media just turn on Russell Westbrook. Was he terrible with the Lakers? Yes. He was awful. But he was also playing with the worst team with no one that believed in him. He was the scapegoat for literally everything that always went wrong. Like when he played with the Wizards, he was kind of the same player, except he took them to like a small playoff berth. And that was a year prior. And then he went to the Clippers and everyone was like, oh my God, maybe Westbrook isn't the worst fucking player in history.
Well, he went from the worst player in the league that was like getting minutes to not the worst player, which is something I didn't see coming.
But he was in the worst situation in LA with the media, with the team, like with the rotations. Like he was set up to fail and take the blame. And I'm not even saying he was a great player. At the time, I said I would never have traded for him. I wouldn't have wanted him as a player. But him as a player saying he's not top 100 is wild to me.
With him, I think people always say like the situation thing. But my big thing with the situation is I don't think there's a situation that exists for him. Like the best situation for him where he like the best he's looked for in the past like 5 years or whatever was in Houston for a little bit. So what Houston did was that's when they went with the micro ball stuff. They like traded away every big on their roster because they were essentially like, okay, this guy has to function as a big man on offense. Like all he's got left is like downhill rim attacking and passing, but so we're just going to use him as like our short roll big off of James Harden, and he's got to be a big man on offense, and then he can't guard anybody on defense, so we have to play Covington and PJ Tucker as our centers on defense. But like that was, but they needed that because you need max level spacing around him also. And I just don't think that there's a situation that a team could put together to maximize him. Cause even if you put all shooters around him, I just don't trust the scoring anymore. Like there was a point years ago where like he's always been inefficient, but there was a point where it was acceptable enough, but I don't think he's at that point anymore. And I don't know if he knows he's at that point. I think he's still like, I was treated unfairly. And if I get this ball in my hands, I'm the guy on this team and I'm going to make all the decisions. I'm going to take all the shots. But we'll see there. And he's crazy because he had that game in the playoffs last year where he had a really good fourth quarter. He had a really good like final 4 or 5 minutes of the game where he got like a big defensive stop and everything. And then everybody's like, Westbrook's back and everything. And he was like 3 for 19 during the game. And he was so bad for the whole game. But then he popped off at the end. But everyone's like, he's here.
I'm glad you brought
that
game up. Because I got comments on my videos saying, like, do you think Westbrook is a top 100 player now? Like, huh, jackass? Like, look at this. And that's the whole thing. He came through, like, with these big numbers in that playoff series when Kawhi and Paul George went down. Because that's his role on a bad team with nothing else. He can get you good numbers. I'm just not interested in that player. But I had said, heading into last season, my big prediction essentially was Westbrook would get traded by the Lakers, which he did, and then not signed and cut. Basically the Iverson arc from like being a good player to nothing in like 18 months. The turnaround on the Clippers was surprising. And I think that him being an NBA player still is way above what I anticipated, but he's not that good anymore. But we should have to move on from the Clippers. We had him as the 11 seed. Looking at the 10 seed, you guys are breaking my heart. I had the Grizzlies as my 3 seed, winning 50 games. Montaigne destroys this with a 38 win prediction. Pablo from the top rope on top of that with 40 wins. What are you guys seeing in Memphis that I'm not?
Big regression candidate for me. Let's just start one culture before we even talk ball. I just don't like anything that they did last year. Minus all the Ja Gunn stuff. I just don't. It's just not a, I don't know, man. It's not a culturally good pick that I feel safe. I'm like, you know what? I believe in what they're building there. I don't believe it. I told Pablo this in our last spot. I was like, I think they got too good too quickly. They basically jumped up from like a nothing in the West to what, 2 years ago, they were a 2 seed or a 3 seed. I think they were 2 seed when they played Golden State. Regardless, they jumped up very quickly and that, and they were all young. And this is the problem. They didn't build any like foundational culture that they were like, oh shit, we had to really work for that. They were just like so talented that they got really good. Yes, they got rid of Dylan Brooks. Ja's going to be out. I think they could be actually better with Ja out as they have been in the past, potentially a sneaky candidate. But I just think everyone that we have ahead of them in the standings is literally a better team, got better, has better pieces. And I don't see how the Grizzlies got better.
Yeah, for me, it's just, it's not even really doubting the Grizzlies in my mind. It's just, I was just surprised at how, there were just other teams that I felt like I have to believe in. Like, I'm going to believe in Zion. I'm going to believe in Luka. And so this just happened for me, I guess. But yeah, Ja missing games, I think, is going to hurt them. Because, and then Tyus Jones, the jawless Grizzlies commander, is gone or whatever. They did get Marcus Smart. But I don't know. I feel maybe it's stupid because it's been happening for years now. But I just feel like the run where the Grizzlies are very good without Ja Morant, I just feel like it's going to run out at some point. But maybe it won't. But I still believe in Ja Morant. I still think he'll be a top, I don't know, 10, 15-ish player at some point in the NBA one day. I think Jaren Jackson is still really good. I just saw the other day that if he wins Defensive Player of the Year again, then he'll be able to get that Jaylen Brown money. So maybe he'll be super duper motivated to do that. Overall, I still like a lot of the pieces on their roster. I love Desmond Bane. I think they draft really well. I think they're a good team. I just think the Ja Morant suspension will catch up to this time and that other teams have gotten better. But hopefully Derrick Rose back in his college town. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll play like his college
self. And married. You know, he's married. He's a grown man. You know, Derrick Rose. Listen, I love Derrick Rose. I always root for Derrick Rose. I think we're underrating the like what the Marcus Smart piece is going to do for them. Not in terms of quality of basketball, in terms of like being a regression candidate. Like Marcus Smart was in probably the best possible situation he could have been in Boston. And now he's going to a significantly worse, I don't know, situation for him. Like he was with at all times, at least two alpha players, ball dominant players, take you off the dribble. And he was like the third change of pace kind of guy. Like if you need a little shot, he's not that on Memphis now. Like who else is he playing with? Like Desmond Bane right now, Ja's going to be out. So who, Desmond Bane and who? That's going to be like the offensive guy. Marcus Smart's going to, on offense? I don't think so. And Marcus Smart's going to like, you know, Marcus Smart's that real. He's of the Westbrook cloth in the sense that he's the heat check guy that he gets hot. He thinks he's the guy. And that he's is like,
they brought me in here to be the guy.
He's going to have blue hair. Like he's going to be like, I am.
Oh, that'll be so cool.
That's good. I just want to note that just reminds me, I'm so bummed the Kings didn't get Jeremy Sochan because he would have dyed his hair purple. Just throw that out there.
Oh,
and yeah. I wanted that so badly. You guys are out of your fucking mind. The Grizzlies are going to be great. They're going to win 50 games next year. Marcus Smart's going to get better. The culture is going to be better. They'll be fine without Ja. They were the best team of the West with Steven Adams. I'm going to have my victory parade after the Grizzlies win 50 games next year, and I'll have you guys.
No Dylan Brooks, no Tyus Jones.
They'll be fine. Still think they're good? Marcus Smart, Luke Kennard, David Roddy.
When does Brandon Clark get back?
Some Brandon Clark action coming back.
I love Brandon Clark. But yeah,
was that about basketball?
Inside their city, I'll celebrate it.
Was that about basketball when you said I love Brandon Clark?
Well, move on, guys. Move on. I'm not a public figure.
Okay. All right. Grizzlies at 10. Next up is a team that I was the highest on. It's the Minnesota Timberwolves. I had them at 48 wins. Montaigne 42. Pablo 49. Guys, I think they're going to be good. I think Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns is going to work. I think Anthony Edwards is going to get better. I like their pieces. Why so low on the Timberwolves? I think they really suffered from Karl-Anthony Towns' injury, played like 29 or something games. With him back, I don't see why they can't be a top six seed in the West.
I just hate them. That's it. I'm a hater.
Fair.
I'm really right. a hater.
Moving on.
I like Anthony Edwards. I hate Gobert and I hate Karl-Anthony Towns and I want them to fail. That's actually it. I'm not joking. I think everyone thinks every year it's like the same shit with Luka, and we'll get to that. But every year, this is the year the leap happens. You know, they're putting on better pieces around him. I hate Rudy Gobert so much. I want him to fail.
I started calling Luka next year's MVP. That was my nickname for him for a while.
What was their record with Gobert and Towns together? Was it good? Yeah, but I'm not a big believer in that pairing. I don't know. I don't know if that's wrong. I don't know what the statistics will tell us. But yeah, I just think that pairing is still a little rough. And then I'm not as sold on Anthony Edwards as everybody else. I'm not like a hater or anything close. I still think he'll be really good, but I'm not anticipating like a future superstar MVP, like top five player in the league type guy. Unless
we had him at 18 heading into next season, the 18th best player. I feel like that's about right.
Hot take, gentlemen. You ready for this? You ready for this hot take? And I like Anthony Edwards, but Anthony Edwards is cut from the same cloth as your boy, who you have all turned on, Russell Westbrook. He is the same cloth player.
A little bit of a ball stopper. I get it. I get it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's got to attack the rim more. He does play defense now, which puts him out of the Westbrook category. But offensively, you're right. He is a guy who's like physically, this is Dwayne Wade basically, and you're like, this should be a guy averaging 10 free throws per game. And I saw Chris Finch on JJ Redick's podcast saying the same thing. He's like, he's got to get to the line more. And so if he did buy into that, if he did realize like, I'm one of the best athletes in the entire league. I'm basically Zion in a guard's body. Like, I think with the P3 athletic testing, they found that he is in like the 99th percentile of every single movement of like speed and power. He's so nuts. If he were to really refine his game and just attack the rim all game long, maybe he saw Shea in Canada and he's like, hey, I'll do that. If he were to do that, I could see them definitely being better and him being living up to everybody's expectations. But I just still feel like a little too jump shot happy. And then just the roster is a little awkward. And then again, it's just me buying into other teams. Like they could easily be better than the Pelicans, but I'm just like, if Zion's healthy, I want to bet on the Pelicans being better than them. So
I also Finch for me. Pretty meh, if not bottom tier coach compared to the rest of the coaches in the West. Like this is evidenced by literally any time, any of their playoff games where they've been up and then literally just get destroyed and lose these runs. They're sloppy with fouls. They're just like a sloppy team. And the media is doing Anthony Edwards no favors. They're not helping him at all. All they've done is coronate this guy before anything has happened. He's like the next king of the NBA. He's the leader of Team USA. All this shit, and everybody is just building this up and prepare for the fall off, gentlemen. And I'm not even saying that he's not good. He's a fantastic player, but he's not Luka Doncic. And people are putting him up there like he's that level of player already. He hasn't really done anything yet. Not that he even has a good team either, but he's not in a team that's going to make him look like that player either. He's not with anyone that's going to make him better. In my opinion, Karl-Anthony Towns is not that guy. And especially, I don't like Rudy Gobert as a person.
As a person, you see, he made sure we know it's not basketball reasons. No. It's personal.
Well, basketball too, but he's just a very easy person to dislike, and I don't like him.
Hey, the entire NBA is in on that with you. With Towns and Gobert, I did look that up. It was 14 and 13, but they didn't really have that kind of time to gel. I want to ask you a question. Out of the four playoff series the Nuggets played last year, which team was closest to him? Which team was closest to him?
Okay. Oh, man. Imagine if Jaden McDaniels was healthy.
I'm saying which team was closest by points per game. Yeah. By points per game, it is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
However, can we make 2 points? I've heard that is the best thing to happen. That's the best piece of PR to happen for the Timberwolves. And the reason that is misleading is because the Nuggets had just started their playoff run. All right. They were shaky. They got way better. I also think the Lakers played them better. If you watched any of the actual basketball, like the Lakers played them better in all four games of that series.
Yeah, but I hate the Lakers. I'm not going to say that.
I agree, but I'm just saying the Lakers played them harder. And because they have so much pride and hated the Lakers in that run, they would never have said the Lakers were the best team they played. They obviously said the Timberwolves. And honestly, blue smoke up all their asses.
Oh, did someone say that from their team? Did Mike Malone say it, or who said it?
No, it wasn't Mike Malone. I think it was Bruce Brown.
Bruce
Brown. Bruce Brown's like playing like 25 minutes a night. And he's like, yeah, they were tough. And Jokic is out there for 38 minutes a night. He's like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, the Lakers were so tough. But I believe in the Timberwolves. I'm curious to see what's going to happen. We'll move on to the...
Rudy Gobert. Sorry. Rudy Gobert, if you're watching this, I don't like you.
Apologize for starting the pandemic.
We're trying to garner respect among the league with the podcast, and we got to get Gobert on, man. We gotta reach out.
Oh God.
We tried to get, I looked into getting Yogi Ferrell on the podcast. You guys know how much it costs to get Yogi Ferrell on for an hour?
Oh wow.
Mavericks legend, thousands? Yogi Ferrell.
Take a swing. Yogi Ferrell, 200-something games played.
I'll say like $550.
$8,000.
Pablo's fucking closer. It's $5,000 to $15,000. Who the fuck does Yogi Ferrell think he is?
IU legend Yogi Ferrell.
We actually had Mike Dom on the podcast, and he's...
Yeah, I was... How did that... Did you pay for him, or did you guys know him?
Jack reached out to him. He's super cool.
He was insane in college. He was like one of the top scorers in the country.
Yeah, he's eighth all time in like NCAA points. He's above Oscar Robertson. Anyways, okay. The eighth seed is a team very close to Montaigne's heart. I had him at 45 wins, Montaigne 41 wins, Pablo 45 wins, Dallas Mavericks. Now, Montaigne, some pessimistic homer stuff. Why 41 wins?
I mean, look at our starting lineup. What do you mean? Outside of Luka, am I supposed to believe in Grant Williams?
Kyrie Irving? Yeah. The center position is the issue.
No, Kyrie Irving is also a huge issue. Like, Grant Williams is also a huge issue. Like, people are... Boston did not play Grant Williams a lot for a reason. He's not that good. He's a hard-ass worker. He plays tough defense, but he's not good. He's not that good. Do I think he'll be maybe better in Dallas than he was in Boston? No.
Good on defense, like, man. He's good on defense. I'll read you the entire...
You know who I'd rather have on Dallas on defense instead of Grant Williams? I'd rather have Dorian Finney-Smith.
Dorian Finney-Smith.
I would rather have him. Oh, wait, we had him. Oh, and we traded him. Right. Okay.
So the Mavs lost Davis Bertans, Reggie Bullock, Justin Holiday, JaVale McGee, Frank Ntilikina, and Christian Wood, added Seth Curry, Rashawn Holmes, Dante Exum, Derek Jones, and Grant Williams. I call this, and I name this after what the Lakers do every year, I call this the shit shuffle, where they take a bunch of players that were problems for other people and they get rid of their players, and everyone's like, oh wow, like maybe this will be better. What I try to look for, who's the best player? Pick the best player out of what they lost and what they gained. The best one's Grant Williams. He's better than Christian Wood. He's better than all those guys. I think that alone, plus Kyrie being there for full season, they're going to be better than last year. They're like 38 wins last year. I give them 44.
So Luka, Kyrie, Seth Curry on the floor together, 3-point wise, may be incredible. That is probably the worst defensive three you can put out there in the NBA.
That's where Grant comes in.
Oh, Grant. Grant's going to guard. They're going to play what is it? It's not a box and one. It's a box and Grant. It's just Grant guarding everyone.
It's going to rely a lot on Derek Lively. Pablo, what do you think about Lively as an immediate defensive anchor for a Mavs team that desperately needs one?
I think it's probably above his pay grade to be the anchor of a playoff level defense, but I think he'll have good moments, I think, just getting blocks and being a good rim runner. But yeah, the big man situation on this team is tough. You guys are forgetting European Partizan MVP legend Dante Exum making his fateful return to the NBA last year. He shot like 40% from three in Europe. Elite defender. Remember back in the Utah days?
I remember.
We need, oh no, James Harden. We need someone to guard him. Dante's on the deal down under.
Dante.
Yeah, and then Grant Williams. I am a Grant Williams believer. I do think it definitely was concerning that they held him out of so many matchups, but I do think he struggles against, like, he's not a guy you can really switch onto really quick guards and stuff, but I think he's a very, very smart team defender, and he's also very good against big guys. Like, he's one of the better Giannis defenders in the league. Like, not that there's really any that exists, but he's one of the better ones. And then I believe I'm so Seth Curry pilled. I think Seth Curry is so underrated. I agree. He'll be so fantastic for them.
He's our best signing for sure.
Yeah. And then I'm also a believer in Luka and Kyrie gelling on the court together. I think obviously, Luka looks like he's in shape, and he's like super motivated for next year. And I think he's a top five player in the NBA.
He does this shit every season. He's in shape every. He's so ripped in June, man. July.
And he just got married also, so he's got that boost. But I think this is the Luka year. Like you say, every year they're like, next year's the MVP year, and I'm always like, maybe. But this year I'm like, all right. I think we're hitting primetime Luka, and I don't think he's disappointed us yet. Last season was bad, but more from a team perspective. I don't know if it was on him. And I just think him and Kyrie with the full offseason and everything, I'm just a believer. I think Kyrie could play off ball.
Hold on. Question. What does the full offseason mean? They've been not together at all this whole offseason.
Well, they're about to start, right?
But that's not a full offseason.
Like, you know, they text goodnight. They text sweet dreams.
One's been away playing in the World Cup and the other one's reposting shit on Instagram. Like, I don't know what the fuck they're doing together. I don't think there's any chemistry. I'm sorry, but I need to like nip this shit in the bud, because this is why they're a 41 team, because they're going to have some of the sexiest looking wins in the league. They're going to look good when they're good, and then they're going to like lull me in and they're going to fucking disappoint me worse than ever. And I'm not letting it happen this year. I'm not letting it happen until we get a better coach. We're never getting rid of Kyrie. The fact that I have to root for Grant Williams is pissing me off. Like, I have not come to terms with that. Okay. Like, he's one of those guys. Like, I was rooting for the Heat so heavily against the Celtics, and part of it was I hate watching Grant Williams, and now the guy is on my team.
Montaigne's having a tough time. It's going to be a rough season.
It's frustrating. And it's like, at least in the years past, I could be like, okay, this could be the Luka MVP year. We finally got some better pieces around him. I'm not falling for this shit. It happens literally every year. It's the same media propaganda. He gets skinny. He gets in shape. He plays amazing with Slovenia. And then he comes back. It's not even that he's bad, but his team lets him down. It's going to happen again. And we're going to middle out. So if any other Mavericks fan is watching this and disagrees with me, you're not a real fucking fan. All right. Be real about your team.
Wow.
Civil war initiated.
Before we move on, I want to note that Pablo said it wasn't really on Luka's shoulders. And yeah, the team issue is defense, and I don't think they fixed much of that. Luka's demeanor is awful, and the body language sucks. And he's doing like, it's the DeMarcus Cousins issue. I feel like he's way better than DeMarcus, so he kind of gets that pass. But like the consistent bitching to the refs, like, you can only do that so much.
He even got ejected in FIBA.
Yeah, ejected in FIBA. That stuff rubs off. That stuff really does rub off. Because if you're Luka's teammate, you're like, yeah, our best player doesn't get back on defense with us. Like, our best player isn't the first one back, and he's not like putting in that effort. But we'll leave the Mavs there. An average.
Wait, one more piece. The Luka's a bad defender take is a very casual take on the NBA. Luka is not a bad defender. Luka just has to work.
He's the worst one in the league.
No. Luka has to do everything. Luka has to do everything on offense for this team. He doesn't have to, but he does everything on offense to this team that when he gets back on defense, he's like, fuck this. I'm going to be so tired. I got to play 40 minutes of this game. I'm not working hard on this one possession because I'm going to get buckets on the other end.
Get in shape. Giannis does it. Giannis plays 38% usage rate. He's still back there on defense. All right. We'll leave it there. The seventh seed
Dante
is,
Exum.
Very, thank you, Pablo. The seventh seed is the Pelicans. Adam at 47 wins. I was the highest. Montaigne at 45. Pablo, 41 wins. They were the one seed for a good chunk of the beginning of the season. Like, they were all in it. And with the Zion stuff and more injuries, they just kind of slowly fell into nothing. Oh, very nice. The Mount Zion hat. I'm going to say Zion plays this season and the Pelicans are pretty good.
I concur. I think I was high on them last year at the start of last season. They were fucking unbelievable. And then injuries. That's kind of it. Also, what is happening with Brandon Ingram? Brandon Ingram's stock taken kind of a big hit after the summer. He kind of went to Team USA, expected to be the guy, got like no shots on the team. I feel like everyone's underrating how good Brandon Ingram is for this team as well. And he's like their second option, you know?
We had him really quickly. We had him, I think, like 20th in our top 20 for our heading to next season. I wasn't there to record that episode. That's Dylan and Nate's fault. but then
Civil War in the Temple podcast. So many civil wars are brewing.
But then we got back and I didn't say anything, but they moved him. We moved him down to 34. Like they were so disgusted by what happened in FIBA. And I wasn't really in the loop, but I'm like, I don't know. I was camping all week. And I was like, I don't know what's going on with Brandon Ingram, but
I don't think he's a top 22 player, but he's definitely top 30 for me, like somewhere around that range. But regardless, he'll play so much better as the number two than having to be the number one guy. And if Zion's healthy, whoa, look out, NBA.
I should print shirts that say if Zion's healthy, make $1 million doing that.
You guys realize he's a father. He's going to be a father. So,
he might have a few kids, man. It's like he's been busy. There's a few on the way.
Some men, they give in to their primal urges, and that's just what biology tells us. I've heard this on the Fresh and Fit podcast, of course. Zion is a game-changing, historically dominant, fantastic player. He's a nice guy just because he cheats on girls. Well, he's mean to girls, but he's nice to the boys, I think. There was a leaked video from his time at Duke. He was calling girls beautiful on Snapchat. So you're telling me a guy who calls girls beautiful is sleeping around? Nice try, lamestream media. He's the best rim attacker in NBA history. He's the best offensive rebounder in NBA history. He had the best single college season in college basketball history. He's a game-changing offensive player, horrific defensively, but potential to be fantastic defensively. He's in shape right now, maybe. The pictures are from like 3 weeks ago, maybe. I don't know. He looked okay.
He could put on weight in a weekend, man. Like I need to see him on the basketball court.
But if he stays healthy, oh my God, we're in such good shape. But also, underrated thing is like, they were near the top of the West last year, right? But if you look up at their record with him, because I was trying to get some pro Zion propaganda this like a little while ago, I looked up their record with him. I think they were like 12-15 or something with him or something. Like they didn't even rack up all the wins with him. But still, I just think he's a really, really special talent. I think they have Trey Murphy is out for a little while for them, right? So maybe that's
missing Murphy. They lost some depth in Jackson Hayes, Josh Richardson, Garrett Temple, Bo Cruz, whose real name I forget. They lost him.
Wait, hold on. Let him think about it. No.
It's my bad.
Yeah, Hernan Gomez. I was there. Don't worry. But they added Cody Zeller.
You're casual for that. That is such a casual statement to say Bo Cruz.
I think it's
that's
more
what I wrote,
real.
That's what I wrote down. I think it's more Thank real. Thank you. I know movies he's been in.
Jackson Hayes, underrated locker room cancer. Good riddance.
Jordan Hawkins, their rookie, the next Rip Hamilton, fantastic, insane movement shooter. And so they have a lot of talent on this roster. Herb Jones. Oh my God. It definitely could go poorly. And this could really backfire on me. But I'm just buying into the Zion optimism because this is a dark world and Zion is my one light.
So we have, we're going to leave the Pelicans there. Heading up, we have an upstart team. a team that we were all pretty high on. It's the 6-seeded Thunder. Me and Montaigne at 44 wins. Pablo all the way up at 49. I like the Chet Holmgren stuff, and I think SGA is one of the 10 best players in the world. Jalen Williams is awesome. I think they're a legitimate playoff team.
Question. Can they trade Jalen Williams and get a better piece?
Why the fuck would you? Why would you do that? Jalen Williams is great.
But what if you could get like a real star for Jalen Williams and some picks?
Oh, who would you want?
That's the question.
He's not going there.
That is the question. I just saw it pitched. Yeah, but like, I don't know. I'm just saying as a potential idea, if there were anyone of the OKC core, I'm not even trying to be controversial, but there are any one of the OKC core that you would be willing to trade, it would be Jalen Williams, correct?
Probably. I mean, it depends who you're thinking. How high a star are we talking?
Yeah, I don't know. Regardless, I'm very high on this team. Obviously, I would like Chet Holmgren to shave his beard, please, because it looks like fucking shit. I don't like it. It's giving me bad vibes. I saw them at the Nike whatever thing in New York the other day. Every NBA player is out there looking fresh. Chet Holmgren, say again.
Did you see him on the internet or did you like see him in person?
No, I did not see him in person. I saw him on the internet. But everyone showed up to this thing looking fresh. You know, everyone had their stylist doing all their shit. And Chet Holmgren literally showed up in a hoodie and Nike Tech sweats. And this beard is not looking very NBA star-like. Okay. So
unfortunately, it's a canon event. All men have to grow the worst beard possible and then shave it.
It's like
it
a
off.
Chin strap. It's crazy. It might give him an extra block a game just because like people dunking on him are going to be like, oh, get that shit away from me. So maybe it'll be a competitive advantage. I'm very high on the Thunder. Obviously, they weren't amazing defensively last year, but they're pretty good. And I think they're probably going to be the best defensive team they have the potential to be the best defensive team in the West.
Whoa. What were they at last year?
Could be high praise. I don't know, man.
I feel like they might have graded out pretty well. I remember they had some like really innovative defensive schemes that they were pulling off without great personnel.
They were top half. I also didn't have a center. Like they traded their center at the deadline, so that's kind of impressive with Holmgren coming in. Maybe you see that impact. I had him as a 10 seed. I said a legitimate playoff team. That's not necessarily true, but they lost Dario Saric, added Davis Bertans and Victor Oladipo, who if you like duct tape together, might be one competent NBA player. Also Carson Wallace taken 10th overall, still very young, but I just think at this point they are legitimately good enough to be better than what the Clippers are going to be. But we'll leave that there. It's time for the Sacramento Kings. It's my team. You guys respected the Kings. I'm so used to coming on to this podcast and defending them with my life, but you guys are there with me. I had him at 46 wins, Montaigne 44, Pablo all the way up at 51. Pablo, God bless you. Thank you. Why so many wins?
I think they're tryhards. I think they care more than everyone else in the regular season. I don't necessarily think they're like one of the best teams in the West. I still don't believe they're a contender, but I just think they're like all in on the regular season, and which is fine. But yeah, because... What changes have there been? It's pretty much the same team, correct?
It's close to the same team. So
I lost had him Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah, Rashawn Holmes. No Metu. Nemus Keita left. Matthew Vadova, which is culture. Well, we haven't re-signed him, which I think the roster is full at this point. Terrence Davis was the one actual rotation player that we lost, and Metu played a bit too. But we added Chris Duarte, JaVale McGee, and our European guy, Sasha Vezenkov. I look at that. I think of those guys, I think I like Chris Duarte the most. And I think that's kind of my thing. The reason I had him winning less games than last year, despite thinking we improved, we were like the best clutch team in the league. De'Aaron Fox had the greatest clutch season since they kept the track of that stuff. And I looked at those numbers and I made like charts and shit to find that out. We were insane in the clutch and that just can't be repeated. I think you're going to see us get better by 3-4 wins, but also lose 3-4 because we're just not hitting those shots anymore.
The Kings have my favorite non-Mavericks player in the league. Drumroll, please. Davion Mitchell is fucking unbelievable, underrated. It's a shame they did not play him more in the Warriors series. It's a shame he doesn't get more minutes and he plays Mind Fox. He is so fucking good. He's so good. He's such a good defender. Okay, his offense could use a little bit of work. He's not the best shooter, but hold on.
A little bit of work, just a touch.
It definitely
offense.
Could use work. Okay. It could. However, his defensive and effort levels to me are just so next level high that I want him on the court pretty much at all times. Anytime they're playing a good guard, which in the West is every fucking team. has a good guard. He's one of the best defenders besides Herb Jones in the league to me. I love him. I will be a Davion Mitchell defender until the day I die. So please, Sacramento Kings, if you're listening, play him more. Play him more. Thank you. And I'll believe in you.
Don't play him more. Listen to me instead. Don't play him anymore. He plays enough. He's a very talented player, but in terms of offensive output, he's just not a point guard. And he's not big enough to be a shooting guard. So that's why Herder and Monk are backup point guards, essentially.
You're just a hater.
I'm not a hater. I watched him for a whole fucking season. All right. The Kings were one of the worst defensive teams in the league, and then the best offense ever of all time. And I think we just added pieces to get better at that aspect in terms of Duarte and Vezenkov. So I think we'll just repeat that, but we'll move on.
Would you trade Davion Mitchell for a better offensive piece if you don't care about defense? Because I'll take him on my team any day.
No,
I'll give you Grant Williams.
The thing is, the Kings need defense so badly that we kind of have to hang on to him as like our one good defensive piece. But whenever you think about like the defensive impact of guards, that's your proof right there. Davion might be the best guard defender in the fucking league. Doesn't help us. If we had the best defensive center in the league, we were like one of the best defenses. So guards just don't carry that much weight. I would trade him for Grant Williams because we need someone who could defend.
He went to a very bad situation. Not that the Kings are a bad team or a bad situation, but like for his strengths, he just went to a bad situation. He could have been on so many other teams.
It was a psychotic pick. It was crazy that they picked him.
I do love Davion Mitchell, though.
Would you trade Sabonis for Haliburton? That's the real question.
Yeah, I would. Undo it. Before it happened, I was all in on. I wanted us to trade Fox. I mean, we had Haliburton. Life was good, and I mean, I think I was wrong in the sense that we were really good. We broke the playoff streak. That's what matters to me. But if you do it again, you're like, I kind of rather it be where the Pacers are than where the Kings are. Mm-hmm. You know, with that young talent and with Haliburton.
Here's my other Kings point, though. De'Aaron Fox, X out last year. Before last year, De'Aaron Fox, pretty much every year of his career was like, okay, we get it, but he's never really going to unlock this. Okay, we get it. He's never going to be an all-star, blah, blah. He's always on the trading block. Last year made everyone just forget about it.
Yeah.
Was it a once-off year from like heaven? Because his stock is kind of at an all-time high right now. What if he's not as good next year? Big regression candidate.
Maybe. It comes from the Sabonis offense. So, like, we have this insane spacing, and, like, he works with Sabonis. It's not just, like, he got hot. It's not like Draymond Green in 2016. Or I guess Draymond, in a sense, is the system. But, like, if you still can have that system and he can still get to those spots in the mid-range, he'll still be just as effective. He may never shoot threes, but... Go ahead, Pablo.
He was the best mid-range shooter in the league last year, right? Yeah, so I think he was by like percentage. But that could definitely regress. But I'm still a believer in him being a fantastic player just by virtue of being the fastest guy in the league. I think that's so overwhelming. And so I think even if he's not quite as good as last year, I think he's legit.
Thank you.
It's also scarier when you have probably the best point guard in the league sitting behind you on the bench waiting to take your minutes in Davion Mitchell. So
it's motivation.
But Davion's guarding him in practice. Yeah. So everyone else feels so easy.
Seriously, that's imagine true. you're practicing and it's Davion 20, like 94 feet. And then you get to play Kyrie Irving. Like, this is great. This is awesome. I used to go by this guy.
It's like when Deion and Jerry Rice were on the 49ers together.
That's a good point. All right. The 4 seed is a team that the Golden State Warriors. I had him at 49 wins. Montaigne 50. Pablo a little bit lower at 45, but still pretty solid. Do you guys like the Chris Paul aspect? Because that's really what's pushing this for me. I think Chris Paul's a lot left. I think Chris Paul's really good. I think he actually fits really well. He doesn't have like the off-ball movement thing going on like the Warriors love to do. But I think he can find a way to contribute to winning with his like kind of more like chokehold the pace of games and kind of control things. Yeah, tons of dribbling. But if there's a guy who could just like dribble and let guys get to their spots, what if the guy getting to his spot was Klay Thompson or Steph Curry? Like, that's a pretty good guy to try to work to get open.
What if, so let's say Klay Thompson passed a year and a half, probably the worst he's ever been in his whole career. Klay Thompson could have a potentially comeback season of sorts. Number one, why I believe in the Warriors a little bit. Number two,
I think he was really good like over the past however many months. I just saw a stat the other day, like he was back to 40, over 40% shooting for the last like 3 or so months, something like that.
I'm not sure I fully believe in Klay Thompson as heavily. I don't think Klay Thompson knows that he's not the defender he once was, number one, and knows he's not the player he once was. But on in that system, which is a great system, I feel like there's very few egos, especially with those three. So I feel like if anyone understands it, they'll know now. As for Chris Paul, the beginning of the year is going to be interesting. I could so anticipate them coming out of the gate super slowly, taking a ton of losses and all this, and Chris Paul kind of being the guy to be like, maybe I should be leading a second unit if it's not working. If the first unit works, then obviously congratulations. I feel like Chris Paul only adds to winning. Everywhere he goes, it's winning culture is pretty much everywhere. He's already going to a great culture. But if they suck, I kind of maybe optimism.
What's
here,
their
believe.
Starting lineup look like? Is it?
I think
they
it's
said Chris Paul's starting.
Yeah, I think it's Chris.
Steph. He is starting?
Yeah, he is.
Oh,
so I assume it's going to be Steph, Chris, Clay, Draymond, Looney.
Wiggins has got to start, though. That's it. Like, Wiggins is like the second best player on that team. I'm not saying he's not better than Draymond.
Clay is not coming off the bench.
I know. That's the thing is Clay has the biggest ego of all those guys.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he won't come off the bench.
I feel like Draymond would be willing to come off the bench. You can go Wiggins and Looney. Like,
he did it against the Kings.
Has Draymond started at the five in his career before or no?
I'm sure he's done it. I don't just know how often. I can.
Not for a whole season. No. Not for a whole season.
Oh, no. He's just, yeah, he's the ultimate small ball center, but I just don't see that.
Yeah, he definitely could. And I think he's still the best defender or one of the best defenders in the NBA. And I think he's so important to that team. So it would be rough benching him. But at this point with these old men, you gotta think durability. So I wonder if he would be able to hold up at center.
Play him the same minutes and then just leave it there, you know, and.
Yeah, just close with him. Mm-hmm.
But out of all the people you mentioned, out of the six that we just mentioned, it would be Looney would be the odd man out, which I think is stupid for the Warriors. I think it's stupid for them to not start him. But ego wise, then yeah, he's the odd man out because he'll do whatever the fuck everyone else says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Chris Paul addition will for sure work out if he's healthy. I don't know about him in the starting lineup. Like offensively, for sure it could work because of the like. You just got to be able to hit cutters, and I think Chris Paul can find cutters. And then defensively, like, he's not what he once was, but he's still, like, super-duper smart. And him and Draymond on the same court, that's, like, ultimate defensive communication. And then all these guys have been playing together forever, so they all have synergy. And I feel like he's just smart enough to pick up on it. And so I think – and I don't think he's completely washed. Like, every – how many times has this happened with him? This happened a few times where we're like, finally, he's done. Finally, he's washed. I think this is not the time yet. He's probably still pretty good. And yeah, I just believe in their talent. I don't know if I necessarily believe in them to try super hard in the regular season. So I think they're actually better than the record I put. But yeah, I think they're really good.
Their bench scoring definitely took a hit as well. But the reason I also believe in them is they're going to be the smartest team in the league. I don't know who else as a starting five are you going to trust that much with that much IQ. Every player in their starting lineup, maybe bar Wiggins or Looney in that situation, is a fucking basketball savant. And I trust everything about it. I trust Steve Kerr to make it work. And, you know, we'll have a couple bench jumps without Jordan Poole there. Maybe Kuminga actually becomes who Kuminga is supposed to be. Maybe Moody becomes who Moody's supposed to be. One of them. If one of them hits, I mean, kind of good. There's a big scoring hole without Jordan Poole off the bench.
Oh, they got Trayce Jackson-Davis. I love Trayce Jackson-Davis. And Trayce Jackson-Davis could be a contributor off the bench for them next year. Big time lob threat. He was a good post-up player in college. I don't know if that's really going to be something he'll be doing a lot in the NBA. But if he does, he's good at it. Fantastic passer, switchable defender, can protect the rim. I think he'll be legit off the bench, and he's super duper old already. So
I think Chris Paul and Draymond are going to get along. I think there's chemistry questions, but I think like they're going to sit down and film and be like, this is the smartest dude I've ever talked with in my life. Like they're just going to bond over that kind of stuff. But I think honestly the biggest piece you haven't really touched on is Andrew Wiggins is coming back. He missed most of last season. He was really awesome. He's a great wing. He's one of the 50 or 60 best players in the entire league. He's going to contribute big minutes. I think if you see them get to 50-something wins, that's where it's going to come from, is Wiggins being awesome.
Yeah, they went the whole year without Wiggins, and they still managed to float above water.
And Steph is still Steph.
I got to be mad at you guys for the next one. I don't know what you guys are thinking. You had the Lakers way up there. I had the Lakers at 46 wins, Montaigne to 51, Pablo just a nauseating 54. What am I missing? Because I mentioned the shit shuffle earlier. They did it again. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. They had, looking at where I had them, they lost Mo Bamba, Malik Beasley, Troy Brown, Winnie Gabriel, Dennis Schroeder, Lonnie Walker, added Jackson Hayes, Torian Prince, Cam Reddish, Gabe Vincent, Christian Wood, and we're going to pretend like that makes a fucking difference. It's stop, all the same. Stop. They're all just the same.
Slowly, slowly list the losses again. Okay. Starting with Mo Bamba, please. Slowly.
Mo Bamba, Malik Beasley, Troy Brown, Winnie Gabriel, Dennis Schroeder, and Lenny Walker. You want to go make the additions?
Any losses that we feel pretty bad about there? Maybe Dennis Schroeder a little bit. Schroeder, maybe Beasley, Lonnie Walker had a couple Troy good Brown, games.
Those guys played.
No, Beasley messed up a handshake with LeBron. He was gone from the jump. There's no way. All right.
They added a Jackson Hayes, Torian Prince, Cam Reddish, Gabe Vincent.
Hold on. Yeah. Jackson Hayes, maybe not. Torian Prince, we don't think is better than all of the other players I think you just named.
Good. He's going to be about as good as Troy Brown. It's going to be the same fucking player. This is going to be the same player. It's there's
you're, he could shoot, right?
He can shoot, but so can Troy Brown. The biggest kept secret in the Troy world Brown, is that is that Torian Prince isn't that good on defense. Like he's not going to be as good as we think he is. Like it's not going to move the needle to the point where I care. Cam Reddish is the worst player in the entire league. Game
hey, it might night. Happen. This might Stop. Be the year.
He's definitely not the worst player in the entire league.
He's the worst one that we care that you could name. You could name a player worse.
Oh, let's see. Is Jerian Grant still in the league? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. On to Gabe Vincent, like I worry about, like, you know when the Patriots players like would leave the Patriots and then they go off to,
yes.
to some other yeah. team and they're not. It's the same thing with the Heat. Like, don't sign Heat players after they've been wrung out for every ounce of basketball they have. And Christian Wood is just like a fun utility guy. He's a bad on defense. He can give you buckets. It's a wash. It's a wash.
Christian
the same team as last year.
Christian they all stinks. Stink. You're underrating it's Gabe Vincent.
It's the shit shuffle. None of it matters. I fell for this twice. I'm not doing it again. I fell for it the year they added like Carmelo Anthony and all that stuff. I'm like, hey man, like they're bringing in some pieces. Then when they got those guys, I remember saying like, quote, they traded the worst players in the league for players that might be a bit better. And it wasn't. It's still just as bad. And they're doing it once again.
Okay. So let me make a point about your patented shit shuffle over here, okay? So it's not like a bottom five team doing a shit shuffle of their bench and they're going to be... They just made the Western Conference Finals. They only needed a little bit of refining around the edges to be in all four of those games against the Lakers. Jokic, to beat them in game three, hit one of the wildest three-pointers, luckiest three-pointers I've ever seen. They almost lost that game. Bruce Brown carried them in that Lakers series as well. They easily could have won two out of those four games at any point. They didn't need so much more talent. They didn't need that much more stuff. That's a playoff series, but I'm just saying... All they did is refine the edges of their team. That's it. Just a little bit. Gabe Vincent is definitely an upgrade over Dennis Schroeder for me personally. I'm not coming off the FIBA, whatever. Jackson Hayes is better than Mo Bamba.
World champion.
Torian Prince is better than Troy Brown. Like all these
Jackson
people.
Jackson Hayes
like,
is exactly the same as Mo Bamba. Troy Brown and Torian Prince are one and the same. Cam Reddish is in a garbage can as the same player. Like we're shuffling around a bunch of nothing. They won 43 games last year.
You would have said this about Lonnie Walker though. You would have said this about Lonnie Walker a year ago. And Lonnie Walker gave you valuable minutes and buckets in the playoffs. Like
whatever,
it can happen.
You can replace him with whoever. It's the replacement player in the VORP calculation.
What was their record when they did the trade when they added everybody? Because I think they were really good at post trade, right? So I was counting on that continuing.
They were 17-9, but the Kings also were like 18-5 or something after the trade deadline. So put my Kings
17-9.
They were 17-9. Could I see 50 wins? But I'm also like another thing to consider is like the new rules, the new resting rules. Like if Anthony Davis is forced to play, does that lead to what's that lead to? Because maybe their ceiling is 55 wins, but LeBron is really old, guys. Like, he's going to see, like, the foot issue, and I think 46 wins is good, given that this, like, the floor is LeBron AD get hurt, and they're the worst team in the league.
Yeah, it's true. My projection is counting on me being a Lakers hater and them staying healthy because of that. And then, I feel like they just cracked the code last year, like, for LeBron's entire career, it's like, oh my God, how do we build a team around LeBron? Oh, wait. all it takes is just shooters and defenders. That's literally all you need. And so I think they just got some capable shooters and some capable defenders. They just re-signed Vanderbilt, right? They have D'Angelo Russell. They have all these guys who are just okay, solid enough role players. And I guess you're just trade banking candidate. On how good for Jared Vanderbilt?
No. D'Angelo Russell, trade candidate. Oh, D'Angelo Russell. Just be on the lookout.
Could be. But yeah, I think it just comes down to how much are you banking on the LeBron AD star power combo in 2024? Could be risky, but I'm just like, I don't want it to happen. So I think it's going to happen just despite me.
I hate it. I think you guys are closer. You know, after the Westbrook trade, they were really good and they played good basketball. I think the biggest piece in my eyes is the LeBron age, is like that foot injury he's having. And because I mean, if Anthony Davis and LeBron don't play, that team wins like 8 games, like the worst team of all time.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of banking on that. All right. Are we ready for the two seed?
How dare you? How dare you bank on a LeBron injury? You animal.
I'm not banking on it. He was hurt last year. It's just like, it's like, okay, like that's probably what's going to happen. He was banged up all throughout the playoffs. He clearly wasn't the same guy.
When LeBron is gone, you're going to rue the day you made this prediction. I'm just going to tell you now. There's only a few years left. We're going to have a LeBron.
When it was 2014, and I'm like, you know, I was 13 in 2014. And so I hated LeBron like every middle schooler did or freshman did. And I remember like looking up his age and being like, oh, hell yeah. He only have a little bit left of this.
Hell yeah.
I had no idea. I was in for another 10 years of this shit. All right. The next team. And this is a really interesting one because we are wildly different. I had the Suns at 51 wins. Montaigne in the stratosphere at 60. Pablo way down at 42 wins. I want you guys to discuss what's happening here.
What's happening here is you guys are stupid and the Suns are going to be really fucking good. That's what's happening. You're under I think it could be higher than 60 wins. The only reason I said 60, I docked it, is because it's going to take them like the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season to kind of meld together. But after that, oh my God, league, look out. It's these guys are going to be really fucking good.
I think they're like one injury away from being mid and two injuries away from being complete disaster. So that's what my prediction is based off. No disrespect to Bol Bol the legend, no disrespect to Kata Bates Jop, 7'3" wingspan, but
nice pronunciation.
The depth on this team is just not there, and then Kevin Durant's getting up there as well, and then so I'm just like, I don't know if I do believe in the trio. I think they'll play really good basketball together, but it's just durability and depth that I'm worried about.
Who's the fifth guy on this team? Because you have Aiden, you have Durant, then you have Booker and Beal, and then is it Eric Gordon?
Yes.
I'm telling you now, it's a dark place to be. Like that's not a good. Like, it's all fun in games until it's like an actual playoff series and Bol Bol like has to play minutes. And it's like, okay, like get Drew Eubanks.
Who is
there.
Stopping that five on offense? Genuinely, who's stopping
minutes,
that five?
Minutes. The 3 minutes those guys don't play together.
DeAndre Ayton wouldn't have to do fucking anything. The four of those guys alone can knock the lights out off of any team.
That is the issue though with Ayton, is he doesn't have to do anything, but he has to try hard. He has to play defense. Last season, he sucked.
And he will.
Why? Why is that going to change? He was awful last year at it.
Maybe because Monty Williams is gone. Maybe his bully is gone from the locker room. Monty Williams, after
Chris
every
Ball.
Game's like, you see, yeah, and Chris Paul, they're like, you suck. You're so ugly. We don't like you. You don't fit in with us. So maybe
you
that'll
don't work
change.
Hard. Yeah, they didn't let them. They didn't let him sit with them at the lunch table. So now he's at the lunch table with all the stars. They're gonna wear pink on Wednesdays. They're gonna have a good time. Trust me. And everyone's seriously underrating this team.
We'll have to see. We'll have to check back in. I can't. I had him at 51 wins. I thought I was like high on him. I think 60 wins. I think Montaigne's out of his mind. But we were all in pretty much agreement on the Nuggets. I had him at 53 wins, Montaigne 58, Pablo 55. The defending champs, do we see any reason at all why they couldn't be the best team in the league back-to-back years?
Jokic assassination attempt by the haters.
Could happen. The hating has gotten so out of control that attempts on his life may occur. But other than that, they lost Bruce Brown. You know, depth is going to be a bit more of an issue. But
that's crazy. That's a huge loss.
I can't tell if Montaigne is joking or not.
I'm not joking.
You're not joking? It's a big loss. He's like 25. You know, you can find 23 minutes a game. Like, they won't have like the
– they're going to give Christian Brown more minutes, and I like Christian Brown, but he's not as good as Bruce Brown. He's just not. Bruce Brown is better at literally everything. Better defender, better shooter, harder worker. Like, I think Bruce Brown – it's not that Bruce Brown is like an amazing player. He's just such a perfect role player for any great team. And losing that off the bench like that – yes, I'm hyping him up because of the playoffs, but like, he was imperative to their playoff success.
Yeah, I think I'm in the camp. I think Bruce Brown was given superpowers by Jokic. I think I think he was boosted by the situation, and I think he's still a good player. But I think somebody else could be thrown in that role and still be successful. And if they don't have that guy in the roster, I think those kinds of guys are attainable. Like perimeter. Well, he's pretty versatile defensively for a small guy, but I think you can find a guy who plays really good defense and who is a good passer and has other limitations outside of that. I think you could find that guy for relatively cheap on like the trade market.
Jokic is the easiest player to play with since Magic Johnson. It's like those guys where anyone is going to get theirs and everyone plays their best basketball with them. He just has that way about him that they have all of these undrafted guys. They have a bunch of rookies they picked up. One guy is going to know how to cut to the basket. And if he can figure that out and the other guy can kind of defend the rim, like they'll be able to replace that kind of production.
Well, I do think they think Christian Brown is going to become that guy.
Maybe.
And he's not.
He's good, though. He's still a good player. The other thing is a full season of Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray spent most of last season rehabbing, essentially, getting back into it. He was really rough the first month or so. Now you get like just... Is it, if it's like him and Jokic, like is it like Shaq and Kobe, the Canadian Serbian version?
Statistically, it is.
It could be, and all of a sudden, like their ceiling is like 65 wins, where it's like those two are just clicking, and Porter Jr. is shooting 48% from three, and they're unbeatable.
But they also went through a huge down stretch last year, like last season. The big, even when Jamal was back, they kind of played like shit during the regular season. Also, I'm not saying Jokic talent-wise or anything is not going to be probably the best player in the league, but like he already doesn't give a shit about the NBA. He just got the one thing he kind of wanted in the NBA and still didn't give a shit and just had the absolute most relaxed summer of his entire fucking life.
You think he's going to fall out of shape?
Not fall out of shape, but maybe they're not going to come out of the gates really hot. Maybe. You know, maybe they're not. Everyone else is going to be working harder. Like the playoff hangover, the championship hangover is going to be real. So
yeah, and I wonder how hard they'll go just in the regular season, because now they're a team that they're like, we went deep into June, we're hoping to go deep into June this year, so it's like keep our foot on the pedal. But also Jokic just might be so good even without the foot on the pedal that it's just naturally 60 plus wins.
I love Jokic because I mean, like, he's gonna age better than anyone else ever has. Like, he is gonna have the best longevity. Like, the thing is, like, LeBron has the best longevity, but he like tries. Like, money, effort, time, cryogenic chambers. Jokic is just going to get fat and old, and he's going to be just as good. Like, maybe he tears both Achilles tendons. He's going to get slower. Who gives a shit? Like, he's going to be just as good.
Is Luka not going to age better?
I don't think Luka's going to age very well at all. I think he's really crafty, but he doesn't take care of his body in that kind of way. And Jokic just kind of lumbers. Well, I mean, he'd be a guard and a big, like, it's just different.
I think Luka's whole play style is just an old man in the gym that pisses you off with bank shots. I feel like that's Luka's whole game, is knowing the angle and the spin to put on the ball to just hit the worst, the ugliest shot, but he's so slow. Whatever. I'm not even arguing your Jokic point. I can kind of agree he'll age well.
Perfectly.
But I already think Jokic doesn't give a shit about the NBA, and I don't need to see videos of you in the gym all summer to believe whatever. I'm not falling for that hype.
Horse races and stuff. Yes, though.
But I've not seen anything basketball related. It's only been him being hammered out of his mind at parties all summer. That's all I've seen.
It's what gives him strength. It's his resources right there. Well, guys, we've gone through the entire Western Conference. We'll wrap it up. Montaigne, where can the people find you?
They can find me at O Montaigne on all platforms, OHMONTAINE. Yeah, drop a CDB if you know what I'm talking about.
And Pablo, where can the people find you?
Hello, everybody. I'm Pablo Escobar on TikTok. Yo soy Pablo Escobar. And I am Hot Tunes TV China NBA on YouTube.com. Thank you.
What a name. You can find me at Possible Chairs on TikTok. It's Possible Chairs, just one word. Thank you guys for listening.